Mr. Lister, Reel 3. We were talking about the period just after you joined up and about the trucks you used. We talked about the guy. What about the Ford trucks? What were they like in comparison to the guy?
Well, they were much superior to the guy. They were more modern engines and much better set of cabways and, much more comfortable and better gearbox.
So you preferred them?
Oh, yes.
Now, that was what next happened? You'd been getting all the new gear.
Yes. And the very little happened for about a fortnight. Nobody seemed to know where we were going or what was going to happen. And
so you were just sleeping on the floor of the drill hole?
Yes. And we were doing, or wherever they happened to be, mostly in the drill. And we weren't even doing a lot of drill or exercise, just sort of a wait and brief, And then we got word to join one five over here.
Wouldn't it be 151?
151 again. And we proceed to south to Devon. Anyhow, I was fully expecting to go with them, and the big trouble was NCOs and
excuse me.
Okay. The big 12 of us NCOs, two sergeants, four full corps, and six privates to go up to Bansford as instructors.
Even though you were only a private?
Yeah. Because we were to be, we were expected to be NCO material. It was based rather more on ability and experience, I think, than rank, And we went under canvas outside Bransworth Castle.
They hadn't built the depot then?
The depot was in the process of being built. It wasn't completed then.
Because it had been Fenham Barracks, hadn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, before.
Yeah. So the headquarters of the IBC was established then in the castle, and the CO and second command and the adjutant and everybody had their offices in the castle, and some of them actually had residence in there. But all the rest of us were in tents on the on the south side of the castle, reasonably level ground, within 2 or 3 minutes walk of the castle itself.
How did you feel about leaving? I mean, did you think the battalion, did you think it was going to be temporary, or did you? So you weren't that bothered, I presume?
No, that would be a change, rejoin them. Because I never did. Because of the certain circumstances, the way they went.
So what were your duties during that? You were living in tents, and what were you actually doing as instructors? You were driving?
Well, for about a month, did virtually nothing at all. Just did guard duties at the castle about once a week. Employed, treated as employed men, they call it. And quite literally out of the boat. It was ridiculous. And then we a lot of our respective tasks from ours sent to the MT section, which was at the place called Meadowfield, which is just outside Durham, between Durham and Bransford. And the idea was to be driving instructors, but at that time we had no transport. It was all there. What little we had was all in press vehicles. We had no military vehicles.
What sort of vehicles had they requisitioned?
Civic cars and a couple of ancient civic lorries, an old CWS Albion lorry. I can't remember the year of it, but it must have been one of the oldest of CWS ever had. Terrible thing. And fortunately, I never had to drive it. But I used to drive an Armstrong Siddeley with a fluid flywheel quite a lot. And then Hillman, we had two Hillman imps, Goodley. And then we got a common army, 300 weight common.
Now, with this, the Armstrong, the Hillman, and the, were you training people in these? What was the Army's method of teaching someone to drive then? How did they go about it?
Well, strictly by the book, as it was then, it was all set out.
And what was that?
Routine maintenance and daily tasks and weekly tasks and monthly tasks. And they had to learn all, they had to teach them all these things.
Could you do the, I mean...
And before you started to drive, you had to check your water level, check your oil level, check your petrol, start your vehicle up, test your brakes.
Did you really do all that?
Oh, yeah, we stuck to the book because... That was it. We had an MP sergeant there who was a former 1st Battalion man.
What was his name? Don't worry, it'll come back to you.
It was strictly, typically brainwashed regularly over the time. And he's, everything had to be done by the book with him, you know. So, you work with people like that, you get like a...
So you were teaching your new people, the drivers?
The first lot of conscripts that we got at the camp took so many out. I think we had about 24 under instruction between six of us, you know. And you passed them out in your estimation, and then they were retested by somebody senior, either the sergeant himself or a corporal or whatever.
And how did you teach them? You taught them.
To take them out on. You taught them the basics in the immediate vicinity of the village, which was a British Legion hook, as a matter of fact, you know.
At Meadowfield.
At Meadowfield. And there was a fair area about the place that you could drive on without going onto the main road. And you used to tell them all the things that had to be done and go through the motions without moving the vehicle, you know. This is the clutch, this is the brake, this is the accelerator, this is the handbrake. Tell them all the various things they have to do to drive away, etc. And then you got down, you tried to instill this in them, and then you got down there, and the necessary hand signals, because it was all hand signals, more or less. And then you got down there, to actually drive, and so you taught them to go forward and go backwards and reverse and things like that in the fixed area, and then you went out onto the road and you took them, the roads were much quieter then, thank God, and you took them on the road and used to do a circuit of about 5 miles, I think, you know. At least that's a bit. We were given a month, and if you didn't consider that they'd want to make a grade by then, just send them out.
Did most of them, were most of them all right?
Well, personally, I was very lucky, except for one bloke who nearly. Because you all went out together, you know, you took your four out together.
And they come. Got you, yeah.
See? And.
Would you start them with a Hillman and then work up?
Yeah, well, it was a bit. Very few of them were capable of driving them. I'm so silly, a lot of experienced drivers couldn't drive the thing because it was a hand control on your steering column, you know, and a fluid flywheel, you had to know how to drive to do it. And it was a beautiful old car, I wish I didn't know it would be worth a fortune. But the Hillmans were simple, you know.
So that's what you'd start them on?
Yes. And so we got the Comet. And if it was satisfactory after the first 4 weeks and the sergeant okayed them, you put them on the bigger vehicle, you know. It took them one at a time then, of course.
So in the Hillman, all four of you'd go out, two in the back, one in the front, and you'd just drive around a bit and they'd each take it in turn. Were there any accidents or problems with any of them?
I was saying, this little bloke, I can't remember his name, Paul. From concert. It was half Italian, I think. It was a nice fella, and he took a notice of what he was saying, but he panicked. Time and time again, if it came the slightest thing, he panicked and. I had them on instruction one day, and we just got back, and there wasn't a car available for transport to pick an officer up from Durham Station. He could have got to Bransford, the railway ran through there then, but he didn't go, and he got off at Durham. He was waiting at Durham Station for transport, so he said, take one of your nerves and go and pick him up. So I let this guy drive, and there was some roadblocks at the bottom of the steep hill coming into Durham from Nevis Cross, you know, that steep hill. There was some roadblocks, one on either side, and it was a very narrow turn and a very sharp left turn. And possibly I was at fault to have sufficient confidence to let him drive it around there, but it changed down. You wouldn't yourself. You used to get them to go right through the box more or less, to slow down, change down from top to third and third to second. And I would talk them when they use the brakes and all that sort of thing. And he got right in between these two roadblocks, and there was a car appeared from the left coming towards us. And he thought he was putting the brake on and jumped on the accelerator and shot forward straight across the road from this car, missed us by about 2 inches and careered towards a lamppost thing in the middle of the road. It was there then, it's not there now. And I was obliged to grab the wheel, I was shouting, and I grabbed the wheel and by by the grace of God, missed the post. I can grab the handbrake and pull it on. It was in an absolute panic. It was, you know, it was sweating and shaking. And I says, Larry, that's the end of the story as far as you're concerned. You've been driving long enough now to avoid incidents like that. And he was quite upset about it, but I had to knock him off. And went and picked the officer up, and I drove myself and went back to Bradford Castle and dropped him off there with his gear. And went back there, met a friend, and went and jumped in the car that Saturday. There was two, there was one called Dixon. He wasn't a DLI man. He'd come from the south somewhere, and but the one I'm thinking about, the X-ray, very quiet spoken. Anyhow, I told him, like, he said, oh, well, we'll get him off. So the next day he got returned to a company, and that was the end of the
But that was the only near accident you had.
Out of all the ones I had, I did have another one too. After the war in Europe, and I started.
We'll come on to that then. What about? I mean, you taught them how to drive, and you taught them the checks before. Did you teach them vehicle maintenance as well? You know.
Well, yes, they did. We taught them that as far as. As I say, there was a little book with army book, something or other, with set procedures in, you know. I mean, all you had to do was to follow it up if anybody was to come along, some officers like that, and ask them questions. That was what they went for. They didn't possibly know anything about themselves, but if they could answer the questions in the book, or go through the motions.
Had you been trained in yourself in how the engine actually worked? I mean,
well, I knew about that myself because I'd learned about it long before.
Private interest.
When I was in the Terriers, and when I was working for the fish firm.
So that was just your own interest. You hadn't gone on a course.
No, but because I knew these things, and that's how I came to go. On an MT course from Bradford.
So, how long had you been at Meadowfield before you went on this MT course?
I'd say about 3 months.
So, it would be around about December, January that you went on the course?
Well, it was a month before Dunkirk, whenever that was, I forget.
So, that's quite a while.
Yeah, well, I'm wrong there. It was longer than 3 months.
So you went round about April. But you hadn't gone, but you'd been retained all that time. You hadn't, because the 8th had gone off in January, I think, hadn't they?
Yes. By then I was beginning to wonder if I was going to go. But of course I went abroad. And I thought, well, that's the end of the story for the present, you know.
Were you bothered?
No, by then I wasn't, because I was having a whale of a time, really, at Bransford. I was playing rugby for the IDC. There was only two privates, and all the rest were officers. There was one sergeant, two privates, and all the rest were officers. And some of them I knew because of. And some I didn't. The adjutant, Lister Todd, was a reasonably good player, and he might say he more or less took me under his wing, encouraged me. It was him that got me the MT course, you know, and as I say, I went through.
That'd be about April then, you went.
Yeah, I went to Leeds and this MT course, and I think about the fourth week or the middle of the fourth week, the evacuation of Dunkirk took place. So there was a strong possibility, because there were posting blokes like myself, By the way, I was an Uppingham Peerless corporal at the time. They were very keen on Uppingham Peers in those days. All ranks. And all that's good. And God knows how many Uppingham sides, you know, like Uppingham corporal.
So you might have been sent from Brandsburg out to your unit?
I might be, not to my own. That was the thing, that was one thing, wasn't it, that was, you were allowed to go anywhere, you know, you could have been sent to the coils or the...
But men were being sent, instructors, from Brandsburg. So this...
The lesser, the lower ranks, especially, or one or two of the older ones that would want to get to that.
But you were on this course. What did the course cover?
Well, principles of the combustion engine, right from scratch, which I was conversant with motors. And we got a set piece to do. Filing, you know, which you were allowed to do in your own, in the course time, but I mean, you had to go to lectures and then you probably had an hour to spare, you could do your finals.
That was your practical test as a fitter?
Your practical test as a fitter. It had to be down to very fine limits, you know, and you were awarded marks accordingly when it was checked. I got quite a good mark on that. And there was an old Comet in this yard at the back of this civilian yard, and it had a more or less circular dirt track, you know, and we used to have this old Comet that had no body at all, just the bonnet and the engine and the chassis. So he got at everything that there was that was the next one that knew. They used to strip it down and you had to put it together again. And, you know. Or you did fault finding and things like that. They used to do some kind of skullduggery and you had to find out what it was. Did pretty well on that. We had, when they went to the boss, we had to take everything, you know, you keep bag of all your possessions, your rifle and bayonet, and your full equipment. Went in civvy billets.
In Leeds.
In Leeds, yes. Wasn't too far from the. It was a big garage, I can't remember the name of it. I know where it was because it was opposite Armley Park. But, I mean, all city instructors and nice fellas. I got on well with them all. But, there again, you know, I did pretty well on most things, but I was an awful lazy devil on written things. That was probably what let me down. I fell down a bit on that. I don't think it was lack of ability, it was lack of interest. I just didn't concentrate on it. I was more interested in where some blokes would sit and go back to the village and sit and write. The days of events, I'll go right, I couldn't get out quick enough to get among the boys in the room, you know, and that was it. And as I said, the troops were all returned from Dunkirk and landed in the south of England, and there was a great deal of trepidation and no respect to the Jews. There's a large Jewish community in Leeds, and prior to Dunkirk, they wouldn't look at you. And as soon as Dunkirk happened, they were rushing about and fighting to go to the drinks and go to the houses and all this sort of business. And certainly wasn't the only one that took advantage of the kind of us. And when we do it to come back to Bradsworth, although there was two of us from Bradsworth, we do it to come back to Bradsworth on finish the course on Friday and come back on Saturday morning. And on the Saturday morning we went down complete with all gear to the Central Station, and there was Red Cops and city police and God knows what. This is about 8:30 in the morning, all over the place, you know, and flappies. And there was a sergeant and a corporal from the Royal Ulster Rifles absentees, you know, and had gone to arrest them. And this sergeant was armed with a revolver and threatened the MP and done a runner while the devil things had been made aware, while they'd cuffed, I don't know, but they'd broken away in the station from the escort and they'd run across the road, and they were in this big shop doorway. And he was threatening to shoot anybody that went anywhere near. And so I chipped us into this place, like, and one of these officers, MP officers, said, do you have any ammunition for your life? I said, no. It might be a good idea if you did. He said, none of my chaps have got any life ammunition. They have revolvers apparently that were just there for show. And he said, I'll send for some, but I said, they were RUR, these two, but some in a skilling officer that was somewhere in the vicinity was came and talked some sense in them, you know, and they gave a sense. But I envisaged having to shoot some police on in Leeds. Anyhow, we got away a bit late. And on the Monday, I had to go to the ordinary room with my results, and I didn't know myself what it was in, like, the report that I had. Well, the archaeologist, and he sent me he had this thing, and I could see he wasn't too pleased. Well, he passed. He says, I thought you'd got much better grade than you did. He said, looks to me as if you hadn't been concentrating on the job in hand. I said, oh, did me best. He said, I very much doubt it, but he just smiled. He said, right, I'll tell you that. Not long after that, this 14th, 16th and 17th Battalion business in Rome, folks were going